Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show. It's for you and about you. Those that work so hard for your money, and you want your money to start working harder for you right now. You want that freedom, cash flow, and prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. And guys, it's so much more than that. It's about living a life of meaning and purpose, because as a Rippler, you can create a ripple effect in the lives of others as you are prosperous and abundant. So guys, welcome to our show. Appreciate you guys binging and sharing. You put us at the top of Blog Talk Radio, which was awesome. I love it. You put us in the top of business and finance category. So thank you so much for tuning in and just being an awesome audience. As a reminder, you can go check our website, moneyripples.com. And especially if you've got questions, you say, Chris, I got my money. It's got to start working for me. How do we get out of the rat race in the next 5 to 10 years where we can be financially independent by 2030? Reach out to us and go to the contact us page to check it out. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income from making at least double digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually earn double digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly. And you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out securedinvestmentcorp.com. That's secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. All right, guys. So I've got a really special guest here, Adrian Gostick here. So now Adrian, I actually heard him he lives in Utah like I do, but never crossed paths until someone from out of state brought an event to Utah, and here he was, you know. And of course, you know, if you've heard of the book, The Carrot Principle, you know, I know we've got that book as well. Best-selling author, you know, he's provided some of the world's largest organizations on how to manage change, enhancing employee engagement, leading high-performance cultures, and so much more. And even more recently, and in addition to being a columnist for Forbes and everything else, he's even started to really focus on how to deal with anxiety in the workplace, right? Like how to deal with all the stuff that's changing around us and the environments that's creating all these stressors. How do we handle that? Whether you're an employee working right now, or I know a lot of you are managers of other employees too, or whether you're a business owner and you own and you're trying to figure out how to control this business and deal with what the changes going on, that's exactly what we're here to talk about today. So again, he's been featured on NBC Today, CNN, The Economist, Newsweek, Wall Street Journal. Again, thank you so much, Adrian, for joining our show today.
Hey, Chris, I'm delighted to be on.
Yeah, so give us a little bit about our background for any of those that might not have run across you before. Like, what kind of got you down this path of almost like this organizational behavior path, right?
Sure, yeah. The last 20 years, I've been researching. My business partner, Chester Elton, and I have been researching, writing, and working with organizations, as you mentioned, on their corporate culture, on employee engagement. We work with a lot of leaders. I do a lot of executive coaching. In fact, just jumped off a call with a CEO I'm working with in Kuwait on his leadership style. So work with leaders around the world on how they can become more effective. And I love your show is all about financial success. And as of course your listeners and your viewers know, it's, you know, that's great, but we also have to make sure we're also successful within ourselves. And how do we accomplish all this? Well, most of us are leaders, as you mentioned, leaders of teams. So how do we get others to help us accomplish all we need to? That's been our work for the last 20 years.
Well, that's all intertwined, isn't it? Because, you know, if you can't get that part of your life figured out, then the other parts of your life, including the financial aspect, is going to fall apart anyways, right? And especially, I know with emotional intelligence and, like you said, delegating and dealing with teams and being able to lead, there's no way you can prosper because you can't do it alone. You really can't.
Oh, you know, so true. And unfortunately, so many managers, you know, they've gotten where they are on their own merits. You know, they were the best individual contributor, the best, you know, the best salesperson, the best engineer, whatever they were, so they get promoted. And they think it's still all about them, but it's not. It's, can you inspire and bring a team along? Because 10 people can accomplish a heck of a lot more than one, no matter how brilliant that one is. So yeah, that's really what our work is how you engage, enable, and energize a team.
Where do you see some of the biggest problems are happening right now, especially today, in today's environment? Like, what are people really struggling with, the CEOs or even just managers? You know, what's going on right now?
Yeah, and it's a good question, because, you know, most of your listeners know that with the pandemic, what happened was all of a sudden the anxiety, the stress that many people were feeling in private, we really never talked about that, became very public, because we all started feeling it. You know, the stresses, the pressure of trying to manage a remote team, having kids that were trying to, do they go to school? Do they not? Do they wear masks? Do they not? Or aging parents, all these stressors started acting upon people. Where now what we're finding is about a third of all Americans have a full-blown anxiety disorder, and more than 42% of people in their 20s. So this is an epidemic that we're not really still talking about as much as we should. This is the second the second wave of COVID is the mental health aspects. So we've got to take better care of ourselves, and we've also got to take much better care of our teams than we ever have before, and start really talking about this mental health aspect.
Yeah, that was actually something I brought up last year. I said the number one thing I was concerned about wasn't the pandemic so much as the pandemic of the emotional issues going on, right? And the mental issues, and that can actually destroy everything in your life. You know, that destroys marriages, that destroys your health, that destroys everything, you know? And so how are people coping? How are people able to manage that right now with everything going on?
You know, it's so true. And, you know, let's think about this from a manager's perspective. Not only do you have to self-care, you've got to make sure you have your 90-minute routine at the beginning of the day. If you want to be successful financially and as a leader, start every day with yourself. Quit doom scrolling when you wake up, going through all the bad news that's out there. Doesn't help you. Yeah. So find your 90-minute routine that really can help you. You know, is it if you're a spiritual person, is it prayer? Is it study? Is it meditation? Is it exercise? Find a way to start your day in a positive way. Read something that's positive. Do something that's going to make you feel more. So first off, start with self-care yourself. And then for your team, there's a couple of things. First off, we have to remove any stigma around mental health, you know, because most of your listeners are high achievers. And so we assume that, everybody's going to be like me and they're all going to be driven. And, you know, some people, this is affecting them, and we have to allow that, you know, throw all the politics away. This is affecting people on a very personal level. And we have to find out, how you doing? And when they say fine, because that's what everybody says, you have to dig below that and say, really? Because, you know, I'm struggling a little bit now and then, you know, my parents, my kids, you know, everybody's working remotely. And get them talking and get them to open up a little bit, because that really is going to help them to know that somebody actually cares. And, you know, when my leader cares, I will actually care about what they care about.
And it kind of makes you wonder, because I know, you know, when I went to college, you know, I was a sociology major that went to psychology for one semester because I thought I'd be a marriage counselor. But then after seeing all the craziness, I was like, I don't want to deal with people's problems. Let me go back to sociology and just look at it from a distance, right? Look at the statistics and the numbers. And then I was going to go into organizational behavior and business consulting as a result, right? So I could stay back. But people can't do that anymore, can they? They can't avoid these issues. And so how do they do that? How do they breach that topic? How do they, you know, not cross the line too much, getting too personal, that they still have those boundaries, but they can still have that balance to make sure that people feel cared about?
No, that's such a great question. You know, and the worst thing that you can do, right, is, Chris, I think you've got anxiety. You know, that'll get you called in with HR very quickly. No, the point is, you know, and there are two words. If you notice, remember these two words, they are, I noticed. You know, I noticed, Chris, usually you're really engaged in our meetings. The last couple of weeks, you've been a little bit more withdrawn. Is everything okay? Or, you know, I noticed, Chris, boy, you always turn in the most detailed sales reports. The last few have been really sparse. Is there something going on that I can help with? You know, very simple ideas, because you're right. You're not prying into somebody's personal lives. How's the divorce going, John? No, that's not the idea. If they want to share, great. Yeah. But what we can do is talk about work issues in a way that shows I'm here for you, I'm caring. If somebody wants to open up, great. What we find in our research, though, is only 1 in 10 employees says that they would feel safe talking to their boss about their mental health or their anxiety. That's a huge disconnect. Only 1 in 10.
Yeah.
And managers tell me, oh, no, my people, they tell me about everything. You should hear some of this stuff, except for this. Why? Because, you know, you control my promotions. You control my what assignments I get. I'm not going to open up to you if I feel like there's any risk at all that this could be used against me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how do employers and managers deal with that? I mean, how do they not let that be used against them?
One of the things that it really comes down to creating a safe place for people. Because, you know, we're not asking anybody to become a therapist. Like you say, you know, I think we all had that at time in college where we went, maybe I'll become a psychologist. And then we realized, oh, no, this is really, really hard because we're all different. You know, you look at engineering, a math problem is a math problem and it's solved the same way. With human beings, all 7 billion of us are different. And so there are 7 billion solutions, which makes, you know, psychology very complex. So we're not asking managers to be therapists by any means.
Yeah.
What we are asking them is to be more empathetic. You know, 10 years ago, when people would ask me, you know, what are the best leadership characteristics? They were ideas like vision and transparency, communication, strategy. Today, there's really just one word, and it's empathy. Especially after what's just happened this last year and a half. If you can be more compassionate, more empathetic, more understanding, and keep it to yourself, as you say, how can you keep this from spreading?
Yes.
You become a confidant. That really is going to go a long way to keeping people more, you know, more comfortable, more mentally strong to be able to accomplish all the things you want them to.
It's true. I'm kind of thinking back to what 20 years ago when I was working with corporate America. Obviously, I've been out of that world for a little while, but I remember I was going through a real bad relationship breakup, right? And I remember I was trying to get on the phones, trying to get to work, and I just could not get my head in it. And I had a really strict supervisor. I was scared to approach him about that. But then I was shocked by the empathy he showed. He just said, you know what? I get it. Like, go home. Like, just take the rest of the day off, get your head on straight, come back when you're ready, you know? And that meant a lot to me. That actually went from me kind of fearing him to a place of, hey, I think I kind of respect him a little bit more.
Wow. Isn't that great? Yeah. Because sometimes you say, you know, I don't care if they like me as long as they respect me. You know, have you ever respected somebody you didn't like? No.
That's true.
It just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, a lot of your listeners are trying to build businesses. They're trying to, well, you do this through creating relationships, you do it through helping people understand the uncertainty we're facing. You asked earlier about what the big issues out there. Well, uncertainty is the number one issue we're facing right now. And of course, many people are saying, well, I can't control uncertainty. No, you can't.
Yeah.
You can make me feel as your employee, we're going into this together. We're going to walk into the dark together and we're going to figure it out along the way versus, yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Just keep doing your job. That doesn't help me. My anxiety is going to increase, my angst. So help me know as best you can where we're going. And it's not once a year, it's every week. Tell me your strategy. Tell me how we're going, what we're doing. And then secondly, tell me how I'm doing. Am I adding value? Am I making this place better? And do I have a future here? You answer those three simple questions. Where are we going? How am I doing? And do I have a future here? My uncertainty is going to come down and I'm going to work harder for you.
I love it. That was great tips. I want to go back to an earlier point you mentioned too about the individual, right? Because like you said, there's at least a third of people right now that are dealing with mental health issues right now. And you mentioned kind of like the morning routine. You know, I know Tony Robbins has his hour of power and there's morning ritual or miracle morning. Everybody's got their own little thing. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Like what you said, obviously don't wake up and just start scrolling, but what are some things people can do? Let's get a little bit more into those details that you're mentioning on those, you know, different aspects of spiritual and mental and physical and things like that.
Well, a couple of thoughts. You know, first off is breathing is so important. If you're in a meeting, if you're making your big pitch, you know, control your breathing. I mean, it's Breathe in four, hold four, release four. You know, just what we're doing is we're not focused, we're not breathing to breathe. We're bringing ourselves back to the present. It's what anxiety is about the future. It's worrying that I can't handle what's coming next.
Yeah.
But if we bring ourselves back present, and that's what we have to keep doing, and this isn't one time, it's just constant. You have to bring yourself back to the present. Quit worrying about what's going to happen, you know, as much as we can. Bring yourself back to the present. The other thing that is key in all this, and we focus in on our book, Anxiety at Work, is this idea of gratitude as well. Yeah. Because the human mind can't hold two thoughts at the same moment. So if I'm grateful, if I'm grateful for what I have, for what's happened, what is going on right now, I can't be anxious in that moment. And the more then we can be grateful, the more we push anxiety out of our minds. And so sometimes with successful people like your listeners, we have a tendency to feel like, you know, we're self-made men or women. And that's never true. What gratitude's about is first and foremost seeing who has helped us. You know, right now, Chris, you're helping me spread this message to a new audience that I normally don't get to talk to. So I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But I have to see before I express my thanks. That's what gratitude is all about. You know, at the end of every day, I think about, you know, the three things that I'm grateful for this, you know, this past day. And it could be something simple. If it's been a tough day, it might be that, hey, my car started, you know, or if it's a great day, it might be, oh, I got to win a new client, or I had a great coaching call with an executive, or something like this happened with the family. You know, taking time every day to be grateful is one of those things that can really push those anxious feelings aside. But we have to be conscious of this. We have to create rituals that will help us think about gratitude.
Absolutely. No, that's powerful. I'll tell you, like, that's one thing I do, like when I do my exercise, is that I try to do this like prayer of gratitude along with it. Right. You know, some just kind of count my blessings in a sense, and it makes a big difference. It really does. Like, it puts you in that right abundant state and everything seems clear. Everything seems to make more sense. You don't get thrown off by the little petty things as much, do you?
And that's so true. I mean, every major religion has gratitude as part of their mantra. You know, Judaism and Christianity and Islam, every religion says we need to be more grateful. And what we find in psychology is it does release those dopamines too. You know, you're exactly right that it does make us feel better. And so, you know, there's got to be somebody, everybody who's listening today, there's got to be somebody that maybe you're thinking, maybe I haven't thanked this person, whether it's your, you know, a kid, a spouse, a parent, a coach, somebody in your life that maybe you need to reach out to and say, hey, thanks for being there for me. Well, it'll make you feel better. It'll definitely make them feel better as well.
Well, Adrian, I appreciate you being here, man. This has been so powerful. You mentioned your book, Anxiety at Work. How can people get access to that book now? I see it in the background there. Oh, there it is in the foreground too. You know,
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, no, it's available wherever books are sold. Get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera. And I wrote this not only with Chester Elton, my co-author, but my son, who's 25. He's a scientist down at USC, and he works in regenerative medicine. Really bright young man, but he's faced anxiety all his life, and so he brings in an amazing perspective of how you deal with all the things that so many of us are dealing with. And the main thing is, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, don't feel alone. Talk to people. Find that support network that will help you.
Absolutely. Amen to that, man. Well, appreciate your time again. You know, everybody, go check out Anxiety at Work that Adrian wrote there. It's so worth it, guys, because it's not just about listening to these podcasts. I know you like to listen or watch. That's one thing. But if you want to see a real life change, it's about going and doing something about it. So it's going, getting the book, and then two, doing something from the things you learn in the book. Even if it's just one principle, take that, apply it, and that's when you start to see real results changing your life. So again, Adrian, thank you so much for your time. Very, very generous.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
And everybody else, go and make it a wonderful and prosperous week. And we'll talk to you later. Hey!
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.